Welcome all to this meeting of the Scrutiny Valley for Money Council Committee on Monday the 9th of September 24. Daniel, any apologies? Item one.
Thank you, Chair. We've received apologies from Councillor Shrive.
Thank you. Item two, declarations of interest. Do any councillors have any declarations of interest to declare for the items under discussion this evening? Thank you. Item three, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I'm not aware of any urgent business for consideration at this meeting. Item four, questions from the public. We've not received any questions from members of the public, so we can move on to item number five, questions from members of the committee. Again, I've not received any questions from members of the committee. Item six, the public minutes of the previous meeting on the 11th of April 2024. I propose the approval of the public minutes from the previous meeting. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Kripsky. We'll now go to the vote. All those for? All those against? And any abstentions? Thank you. Item seven, appointment of vice chairman. We will now take nominations for the appointment of vice chairman for the ensuing year. Do I have any nominations? I would like to nominate Councillor Mansfield. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Kripsky. All those for? All those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. The vote is carried. Congratulations, Aaron. I'm feeling a bit ill at the moment, so thanks. Okay, we'll now move to item eight, disabled facilities grant, the 6-monthly update. Over to Rachel. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of disabled facilities grants, this is a 6-month update of the disabled facilities grant programme. We set ourselves a target to reduce timescales by 10%. That has been achieved. We have beat that by, we're up to 11% in terms of the reduction. Approval numbers have increased. We have seen some levelling off of completions during the last financial year. But in terms of progress, we've got customer satisfaction questionnaires. Again, they are, I think, 95% positive. There are some recommendations for reviewing there's a temporary position, which is one of our caseworkers, to consider extending that for a further period of time. And there are also recommendations for reviewing our OT service. So that is to consider whether we stick with the current provision, change it for a different provider, or recruit an internal occupational therapist to provide that service. So they're the two recommendations that have been raised within the report.
Thank you very much. Can I just ask, in terms of the additional headcount, is that currently outsourced?
In terms of the occupational therapist service, that is outsourced currently.
Thank you very much indeed. Are there any questions from Councillor Sankey?
Thank you. Yes, I've sort of on record that there's been a big improvement over the last few years on that, which is noticeable, which is good. The one thing I would like to understand is, you pointed out it was a levelling out of the, you used the word levelling up of how many DFGs you've done. We've actually number completed have actually gone slightly down, and the amount of spend last year was slightly down. Now, given that we've got £2 million reserve sat there doing nothing, that I'm being slightly flippant there, but £2 million in there, we should be using some of that reserve to address some of the things, which is what you, which previously you were doing. You've got more staff in and there. So I was expecting to see that money, going down. And also, you've had extra money this year, about 100,000. So there's another 100,000 gone in. So I was looking at seeing that money being spent, not fast. I'm not looking for £2 million quickly going, but to start addressing the backlog and the issues that are there. But it's good news anyway, but I'd like to see, in terms of value for money, I'd like to see that we are using and spending the reserves, because there is £2 million sitting there, which is a lot of money that we should be capitalising on. Thank you.
Can I just respond to that? In terms of the expenditure, yes, I was expecting it to be higher than what it was, and I was very surprised that it wasn't, to be fair. In terms of current position, we have already spent half the amount of grant that we have received this financial year, which is 50% higher than last year. So spend is already double what it was this time last year, which is very positive. There's a few changes that we did last year in terms of the policy. So we changed the policy to remove the client's contribution where it's less than £5,000. We've also removed the contribution where there's an equipment grant only, and we've increased the various different discretionary assistance that we can have. And I think that is why we've got a higher spend to date. And that is something that we need to keep a very close full watch on, because I am aware of other local authorities that have introduced those things. Their spend has gone up, their backlog has disappeared, and they are now having to delay DFGs. So yes, I take on board, and I certainly want to see it a lot higher than 1.2 million by the end of the financial year. But we do need to keep a watchful eye on it.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Two questions. Firstly, as Councillor Sankey pointed out, I think the progress has been great. And I think one of the, I think the chart that really illustrates that is chart 5.4, where you can see that kind of step change that has been made over the time. And I know one of the contributing factors towards that is the addition of the temporary applications role, which the report is suggesting to extend. Is there any ambition to make that into a permanent role within the team, or is it expected to continue on a temporary basis whilst we kind of get through the backlog? And then the second question would be, one of the risks that you call out, or one of the threats to the service, is the impact of long COVID and what this may do to future, the amount of applications or needs of applicants coming in. Has there been any notable impact from long COVID related or COVID related DFGs that are coming in that are starting to trickle through, or do you think that threat may not materialise as it potentially could have at some point a year or two ago?
In terms of recruitment, I think because there's not really been any reduction in referrals being received, there similarly hasn't been any increase in referrals being received, so workload coming into the service has been consistent. I think there is probably a justification for the temporary role to be made permanent. In terms of long COVID, we haven't really seen many applications being received with a disability connected to long COVID, but we don't tend to, we record all the various different disabilities, so it could be that they're in there. I haven't noticed anything specifically. One thing that we do need to do is to do more promotion for DFGs, and I am trying to work closer with MPFT, so our partners in terms of NHS, just to make sure that the message is out there that DFGs are available and they are being picked up as early as people can get them.
Any other questions? Councillor Hudson.
Yeah, 7.3.1, do we still need that in the report now? It's to do with COVID. It says COVID restrictions can delay or prevent visits. Does that still need to be there? Is it?
No, I think that can probably be taken out given where we are. Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel. If there's no other questions, thank you very much indeed. Thanks. Thank you for coming in today, by the way. Thanks. Okay, item 9, quarter 4 performance report and the corporate plan. I now invite Sean to provide a performance report update on the corporate plan for quarter 4. Please note that Appendix 2 and 3 will be considered in private part of the meeting, so if Councillors have any points to discuss on these sections, please raise them in private, in the private part of the meeting at item 12. Thank you. Sean.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the quarter four end of year performance report for 23-24, which looks at the Council's progress towards achieving its corporate plan priorities up until the end of March 2024, along with updates on the leisure contract and the Towns Fund programme. For the corporate plan, each target had been graded using the usual traffic light system, and of the 130 live targets, 93.85% were green, 1.54 amber and 4.62 red. The table on page 9 of the main report shows how these percentages break down across the corporate priorities and the cabinet portfolio. Details of the 6 red and 2 amber targets are provided on pages 10 to 12 of the main report. On pages 14 and 15 of the report, you'll find information on the performance of the leisure operating contract, and at section 6, the Towns Fund programme, which you'll find at section 7. Thank you.
Councillors, questions? Councillor Clark.
I just a general question on the report in terms of the corporate priorities in table 5.3. What's the reason that a significant amount of the virtually all of the targets sit under the other bucket rather than laddering back to the 5 corporate priorities?
Sorry, which table?
In table 5.3, where it's got the top level summary of the green amber and red by corporate priority and cabinet portfolio, probably about 80 to 90% of all the targets sit within... 90% of all the targets sit within the other corporate priority rather than laddering back to one of the 5. What's the reason for that?
So, unfortunately, I didn't author this report myself, so I will have to check that and come back to you.
Okay, thank you.
That's fine, sorry.
Thank you, Sean. Any other questions? Thank you very much indeed, Sean. We now move over to item 10, the scrutiny review programme update, car parking charges, grounds maintenance. The Cabinet minutes have been circulated with the agenda to update members on the progression of the two scrutiny reviews. Are there any questions? No, thank you. We'll move on. Item 11. Future scrutiny reviews. I now invite Sean to provide an update.
Thank you, Chair. So at the scrutiny meeting of the 11th of April, the then committee held a conversation regarding potential future reviews once the car parking and grounds maintenance reviews had concluded. For the benefit of the new members, the committee discussed the possibility of conducting scrutiny reviews on, number one, value for money of the civic function suite, and number two, cost effectiveness of fixed CCTV across the borough. In relation to the civic function suite, the committee were proposing to establish whether the suite at Burton Town Hall was achieving value for money by understanding the provisions of the venue, the current usage, revenue versus expenditure, resource, local competition, etc. The proposed scope for CCTV was to establish if the financial and operational effectiveness of fixed CCTV cameras across the borough was achieving value for money by understanding coverage, placement, current contract details, operational effectiveness, cost, data limits, etc. These items were added to the programme plan, however, were not progressed due to the delays in approval of the previous scrutiny reports. This then provides an opportunity for the updated committee to think about and discuss items they may wish to review moving forward. You may also be aware that the Council have engaged with officers from around the organisation who've highlighted that they have an interest in scrutiny. These individuals have been nominated as scrutiny support officers, and I can confirm that Thomas Swift and Sharon Walker have been assigned to the VFM scrutiny committee and will be involved in whichever reviews the committee decide to progress with. Once the committee reaches a decision on future reviews, I can happily update the programme plan and engage with the support officers to assist.
Thank you for that, Sean. Any questions? Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Chair. I think we discussed those two those at the last meeting. Things have moved up. I mean, couple of questions I'd like to ask around the value for money side of things, that we've got some big things going on. One is the ward enhancement program, which is probably our biggest discretionary amounts of money that we actually hand out to the public through the area. And I think that is something that we ought to make sure that it's got value for money on that one. I've had one or two people comment. I've actually been on the panel where the money's been issued, which is interesting to see how it was done. So I can see that. I don't think it's appropriate to comment it on the individual cases here, but it did highlight that it's quite a big and complex area, and whether we're getting value for money from some of them and the process is followed is probably questionable in some cases. So I think that is one particular one. Another one that has come out of the thing, I saw the corporate plan, the corporate performance report for quarter one, and highlighted that regeneration of Utoxeter is not likely to hit its target. I'm sure certainly the three members here will be probably more aware of the issues around that than I am. And clearly, the message that I got fed on that one, which I don't think is particularly confidential, I'm told the report wasn't confidential, is that the maltings is not progressing as planned, and therefore we're spending money on that one. And that's another one that's a big one of what we're doing in terms of, are we getting value for money out of that? Because we have done a number of consultations on that. The Conservatives have two. Yourselves, the current administration has done another one. Three, we've had architects drawn up from the Conservative administration, and we've had architects draw it up from the Labour administration. We've had legal people doing it, and it still doesn't seem to be any progress of where it's going to. So in terms of value for money, there's a question around that particular one. So there are two that are quite big ones that I think are some of the meaty ones that are actually something that a scrutiny committee may want to consider for these. And I'm just sort of putting that on the table, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Singh. I would say on the latter one, the regeneration, I don't think it's very far from the target, but I think it's a little bit difficult to establish value for money on two sets of administrations when we know the gestation period of any refurbishment is quite a long, long tail. And I think we do understand why we've had a large number, a large number of consultations. And on the first one, and this is just sort of debating it really for everybody, which I'd like to bring everybody in. On the ward enhancement, do you think it's too early to establish whether we're getting value for money from the projects we've given money to, considering it's a relatively new initiative and maybe not sufficient time has passed? I mean, I can understand if we went to build something, I think that's fairly clear, but some of the others is quite a long gestation period.
Yeah.
So
if I could
just debate
if
that.
I could come back on those two. I mean, certainly the message that I and several others got on the briefings last week was, in terms of the Maltings, was that it is unlikely to go ahead purchasing as planned. Right. So that was a very, was that fair to say, Phil? Very, very clear message from the senior officers on that one.
Sorry, could you just repeat what you believe the officers have told you?
That we're unlikely to purchase the land off the owners, and they believe there's potentially other bidders in place to do that.
Could I then ask?
One councillor believe they've already sold it to somebody else. I have no idea whether that's true or not.
Okay, so could I ask which officers have been indicating this and to whom?
Chief Exec and Tom Deary. They're as soon as you can get. I didn't particularly want to do that in the public bit, but since you've asked
them. Yeah, sorry. So. You're suggesting you're telling me it's Andy O'Brien and Tom.
Yeah.
In what it was this in the meeting or?
Yeah.
Which meeting?
Our LOAG equivalent of your LAG meeting.
Okay. Well, I'm not aware of that, and therefore I don't think it's pertinent for us to.
I do apologise. I assumed you'd been briefed previously.
I'm not. I don't think at this point in time we should necessarily debate that until such time as we've had or I'm aware of a full statement from the officers and the cabinet, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Could I follow up the second one? The ward enhancement programme has been going now for 18 months, and next meeting, which I believe is this month, we'll see the final amounts allocated to it. So it is reaching that point where the monies have all been allocated, and the projects have got to be delivered by the end of March, I believe it's the end of March anyway, the money spent. So that it is coming up to that. Now, you could argue whether it's end of this period or into the beginning of the next one, but it's a big one of a discretionary amount, and it does make sense to have it as a value for money one, Chair. So that was where I was coming from.
Thank you. Councillor?
Thank you, Chair. Just echoing Councillor Sankey's comments on the ward enhancement programme, for the awareness of this committee as well, it's also something that I've raised in the development committee, scrutiny committee as well, because I think there's an argument around the angle that we're coming from it there is to look at the outcomes of the ward enhancement projects, partly because you've got a chunk of them. Some are kind of one-off projects looking to do redevelopment work, but you've also got some in there which are part of projects which could become ongoing things, such as some of the music elements or community elements. And I think there's probably an argument to be made around, are we getting value for money in regards to kind of assets that are being done up for community value, as well as the value for money aspect and the community benefit that's being driven by some of these projects, and would they then want to become part of an ongoing body of work that the council might look to support long term as well? So I think you've also probably got the argument of, are we getting value for money from these projects, and are there any, or is there a set of criteria that we're using to review them to see if actually this is kind of delivered above and beyond, and from a community perspective is something we'd want to consider longer term. So I think you've probably got that element as well as the value for money, which may be something that we might possibly want to kind of tag team with the other development committee element as well of that.
Thank you. Councillor Krupski.
I just think, okay, I agree that we need to look at these things and see, make sure that we are getting value for money, but I think it's far too early for that. A lot of these projects are only just beginning now. You've got to allow them to run, to form, and then to do their measurements. And I am sure in their applications they have actually had to state how they're going to improve the value in terms of monetary value and footfall, etc. So I think it's too early to actually physically look at that as one of our projects. I think perhaps down the road, give them a year, then you would look, but not yet. It's too. I think it's too soon.
Other councillors, please. Councillor Sankey.
I think that's on the process. So that might give us a scrutiny over some things that you mentioned. I agree with Penny that I don't disagree at all with the logic of scrutinising the web. But I think next year, when those projects have come to maturity, I think you'll get a better assessment from it. So I completely support it being one of the lines of inquiry, but I think next year will be the better timing for it.
Chair, could I just say, I'll be the last one, I promise, this time. Could we make sure that we do it time-wise, that we don't run into the car parking issue where we're doing it and cabinet are also doing it, and we got into a little bit of difficulties that we're doing it at the same time. So if we can make sure that we can do it, that feeds into any cabinet decisions. So if cabinet are thinking of doing any reviews in these two areas, could we do ours before that, please? Because that's the appropriate order. I don't want to get into the debates. I'd rather have our discussions focus on the things rather than not focused on the timing issue, if I may.
Yeah, like everything, one learns from experience. So I would support that motion. And you know, in terms of the ward enhancement grants, I think I'll need just a gen up to find out to what depth the reviews are. And when they are scheduled, so we again don't find that we've got clashes if we decide to go down that route next year. Yeah. So, in a total agreement with you on the point of not having stepping on people's toes and doubling up the work either. So, we're really back. Are there any other proposals? No, so we have a choice of four. I personally would discount the regeneration. I think it's far too early. And I think we're getting into – in terms of consultation, I think we would get into areas we don't really want to go to. I don't think it's value. It's a personal observation. You know, is three or four consultations the same? Are they consulting about the same thing? I think it's going to be a very difficult one, and I wouldn't like to mar the regeneration process at this stage. So we have an option. On the last occasion, we did two simultaneous scrutiny reviews, one on the car park and one on grounds maintenance. How does everybody think that went in terms of taking two rather than one? Councillor Krupski.
I think I prefer, from experience, I think I prefer for us all to work on one at a time, because what happened actually with those was one of the value for money projects fell on just a few people to do the work, and that isn't right. It should be the whole committee. So I think it should be the whole committee working on them individually, one at a time. And I think then what we should do is perhaps look at it. When we've broken it down, what we're looking at is then subdivide and allot parts to each one or two people within a committee, and then come together at the end of it.
Thank you.
I do agree with Councillor Krupski's approach of let's focus on it and get the job done properly and put some resources. However, one comment I would make is, looking back on last year's number of completed scrutiny reviews, and I think, and I might be wrong, and I do apologise if I am, only the VFM actually produced a number of completed scrutiny reviews at the end of the year, and the others didn't. So we were doing something right, whether we liked it or not, and I wouldn't like to lose that momentum. I think it's important that we actually do a number of scrutiny reviews during the year, because the other scrutiny groups didn't complete any, from what I recall, and whereas we actually completed two, painfully at times, but we actually completed them. So I think I wouldn't want us to focus on one and find that takes all our energy, and we actually end up only producing one at the end of the year rather than two. That's where that's probably my. We probably won't, but it's just a risk.
Councillor Krupski, thank you.
I think if we're organised, we've got a time frame. We stick to that time frame. I mean, I think it was proposed, Sean. Initially, I was looking at the timetable. It was the first part of this year, which obviously has been delayed because of the issues with the last two value for money. But if we move on and set that sort of time frame for each of them, we should manage two within a year.
Any other views? Okay. My personal preference is to do one, and then on completion of that one, move on to the second one. If we are to do two in a year, it's not mandatory. You know, we've already achieved two, great tick. I think for me personally, it was a learning curve, in nothing else, of obtaining information, both internally and externally. So I think I've learned quite a bit. I think other members of the committee have also, that have not been through the process before, have learned quite a lot as well, in terms of how to conduct a scrutiny review and how to get the best out of officers, etc. So my preference would be to go for one. We now need to choose that one. So can I suggest we'll do it democratically? We will have a vote on all four, and we'll see which one is going to one moment. Sorry, did you want to say something, Councillor Kripke?
I was just going to suggest which way round, but have I jumped the gun?
I don't know. I've had some advice, which is excellent advice as always. We are meeting in 3 weeks' time. Can I suggest that we make that decision in 3 weeks' time, which gives us more time to consider it, because we've considered the two advocated ones for quite a while, but these are the two that Councillor Sankey's proposed are brand new, and I think we should take a little bit of time and consider that. Councillor Hudson.
Yeah, I've got another six potential future reviews on the things I've got. But I've gone onto the links, and there's the two that we've spoken about, the civic function, the CCTV. Then I've got a further six.
Well, those are sort of historic ones to sort of prompt conversation potentially for future that they weren't actually planned to take place, but they were just there as a reminder.
Thank you, Sean. So I think if we start narrowing it down, we've got four to choose from, and I would propose that we decide upon the one that we're going to commence in the first place in 3 weeks' time. Are you all relatively happy with that? Councillor Kripke.
Sorry, I'm not. I would prefer us to make a decision now because time ticks on. So if we can actually make a decision now as to which one we're going to focus on first, it then will enable us in three weeks for us to have some thought about what we're looking for, what we need, so that the next meeting we have is a productive meeting to move forwards.
So you're all supporting roughly that proposal. Great. Okay, so... I suggest we put it to the vote. Sean, do you want to throw out or pronounce the suggestions one by one, and we can vote on those, and then we can make that decision?
Yep, so the first one was the value for money of the civic function suite.
Thank you. How many would prefer to go with that in the first place? Show of hands, please. Thank you. And the second one is?
Cost effectiveness of fixed CCTV across East Staffordshire.
Those in favour? Two? Three? Three? Okay. And the next one, please.
We have the Ward Enhancement Programme.
And votes for that, please. One, okay. Does feel like the Eurovision Song Contest.
Uttoxeter regeneration.
Those in favour of that one? Two. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's something that we need to do. It's just when we commence that.
Okay, so just for clarity, if I could just go for the vote on that one, please. Those in favour of looking at that. Two. Three.
There was a bit of a confusion because I thought we were just voting on which one we would go first. But are you saying we're voting on which projects we want, the two that we want for this year?
Well, we're voting firstly which project we're going to commence. We hope to do two projects this year, but let's just vote on the first one at the moment. There's an indication it's too early for the Uttoxeter regeneration, so I take that on board. So what I suggest at the moment is that we pick them, and in reality, you have picked them, because the first items had a score of 4 and the second one had a score of 3 and the last one had a score of 3 as well. So that already gives you an indication of what the feeling is of the group that we should be looking at. So we start with the first item, civic function suite. Now, if we can move through that quickly and effectively and can finish our proposal, then we can move on to the second one. Are we all happy with that? I think that's resolved that one. Thank you. Okay, if we can move on to public executive decision records, item 12, please. And the answer to that is they've been circulated with the agenda. Does anyone have any questions regarding these? No, thank you. Item 13, date of next meeting is scheduled for the 2nd of October, as we said. That'll be in 3 weeks' time. Okay, we now have 4 items to consider in private, so I'll now move on. That in accordance with section 100A, bracket 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public will be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it's likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item numbered on the agenda. Do I have a seconder, please? And I'll now go to the vote, please. All those in favour? Any abstentions? Thank you. Passed.